my name is Pierre Jovanovic, and I'm a reporter since 40 years, and I worked in Le Matin de Paris, Le Quotidien de Paris, so there were French daily, big daily newspapers, and French cable and radio, and now I was at PC computer chief editor of IDG Computing Group in France. So I have 40 years of background, if I may say that. And of course, I am my specialty is banking industry.
Well, I know there has been a little bit of a problem at your publisher. Can you tell us a bit about what's happened?
Yeah, it was a very strange story. My apartment was broken into by a SWAT team, if you can imagine that, by the French SWAT team. And as I was not there, they went to the publishing house directly, and they broke into the publishing house, but they didn't find a copy of the book because the book is still at the printer. So it was very, very strange because I didn't receive any call from the police. I just received a call of the police the day after telling me that I was a missing person. So it's just a plain BS.
Yes, well, it sounds like the police have been misinforming themselves. But anyway, why do you think there's such an interest by, shall we say, the deep state in this book? What's the title of the book?
The book is simply titled 2008. The biggest holdup in the history of humanity by American bankers became mad.
Okay. But why have they taken such an interest in this book, do you think?
Because basically, don't forget that Emmanuel Macron is a banker. He was at the Rothschild Banking in France. And, of course, you know, the bankers are, or he's still a banker. And he is following my press, La Revue de Presse International. And the banking industry and the situation of the world economy is still... It's not very, very good, as you know, especially if you look at the German banks and the French banks and the Italian banks, and also that the Credit Suisse went belly up, which was the oldest Swiss bank, if you can believe that. The Silicon Valley Bank, it was like 2-3 years ago. So the what happened in 2008 is still ongoing. It's like it was like a banking Chernobyl nuclear accident, if I may say that.
Yeah, but so why do you think your book has got so much interest?
I never expected that it would have so much interest from the government first, and I am very happy about it. But the conclusion are disturbing will be disturbing for a lot of people, because I give the list of all the people who I think they are guilty, and they did it on purpose. Literally on purpose. I have a special thinking on Goldman Sachs, for instance. Okay. Goldman Sachs, which is the biggest crook bank of crooks in the world today.
Okay, so according to you, what really happened in 2008?
What really happened to 2000, it's going back to until 1997-98, when the Secretary of State Secretary of Treasury of the United States, Mr. Rubin, persuaded Mr. Clinton to sign a very special agreement between Mexico and Canada. So, when people in the United States were paid, let's say $2,000 per month, the first thing the big companies did is to move the whole factories to Mexico. $200 to $400 per month. So it was a huge win for them. But in United States, you got 1 million person without jobs, and all these million people had already have mortgages on their backs, on their house, and they all defaulted. One after another, and this is how it started. This is the beginning of the crisis, and this is Mr. Clinton and Mr. Greenspan, and especially of course Mr. Rubin. So these people are the most guilty. These people should be in jail, actually.
So I think what you're saying is that the massive bailouts here in Britain, we had around about £1 trillion given by the government to the banks in the bailouts.
Yeah.
So you're saying that it took maybe 10 or 12 years for the decision back in the 1990s by Clinton to finally actually hit the banking system. Is that right?
Yeah, actually, it's a little. Let's say, don't forget that the second point is the invention of credit default swap by Mrs. Blythe Masters. I've wrote a book about her in French, and the CDS, the credit default swap. You know, everybody, you know, the first banker you have ever met is, I don't know how you call it in English, I think it's the crook, you know, the Walt Disney character, you know, the guy who is swimming in his gold coins. How do you call it in English? Scrooge.
Scrooge, right. Scrooge, yeah.
Yeah, so
Charles Dickens.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the Walt Disney character. So, so this is the first banker we ever met. You know, and the Mr. Scrooge swimming in his gold coins was their all these gold coins were their reserve, their security, and the credit default swap was a new tool. Which helped the banks to sell every mortgage to a pool of other people who, when somebody didn't pay back his mortgage, then those people started to pay for them. And initially, it was reserved. This tool was reserved for big banks like the Banque Mondiale and all this stuff. But progressively, you know, all the banks started to use it, and this is why the between 1997-98 until 2008 exactly, they almost all sold their gold. Reserve, and they were saying themselves that the CDS is a guarantee. It's the absolute guarantee to see your money back. Unfortunately, this is what we have seen when Bear Stearns fall, when Lehman Brothers fall, when Northridge Bank fall, when the Iceland banks fall. All these people were just taken hostage by Wall Street. So this is one of the second point. There is a third one, but it will take a little more time to explain it. Basically, the point is that the American bankers sold, you know, this pool of mortgages to English banks, to German banks, to French banks, Italian banks, all over the world. Even in Australia, and basically, if Mr. Smith in Arkansas didn't pay back his mortgage, that was the retired system of teachers in Germany who will pay for it. Mm-hmm. And this is what happened. This is what started to happen in 2000, and then 2006, in 2007, and the whole thing blew up in 2008. And the Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, and all these banks sold these mortgages with guarantees to all over the world.
Okay, so have we recovered from that?
No, absolutely not. Of course we didn't recover. If you take, for instance, the value of Société Générale or Deutsche Bank, if you compare the price of the share, you take the price from 2007 and you look at the price today, there's a perfect example, English bank, Barclays Bank, for instance. Barclays Bank, this bank is dead. it's still dead. You know why? Because bankers cannot fool their own traders. That's the point. If you take if you look at the share of Deutsche Bank, which is one of the biggest systemic, too big to fail bank in Europe, there is still this nuclear accident going. Same thing for the Italian banks. Take for instance the Monte Paschi Bank.
Yeah, but even if these banks do go down, you know, we've got the reserve banks, haven't we? We've got the European Central Bank, we've got the Bank of England.
Of course, you know, what the Bank of England did, what the European Bank did, and what the Japanese and, of course, the American Bank, they all printed money. And they printed money so much that now you have now, since 6-7 years, we have inflation which is just killing normal people. more money they print and more inflation you have. This is where this is what happened a long time ago in Germany, in Weimar. It was interesting to see that now in United States, in New York, if you want to buy, for instance, the 12 eggs, it will cost you like $12 or $14 today. I have a picture on my press review. It's absolutely amazing. So more money they print, and they started to print again last week, especially in United States. You are going to have even more inflation, and the Americans, this is where they are very strong, basically, is that they export their own inflation. So British people are paying for them. We in France and Italians and Spanish, etc., we are paying for them. And this is still going on. What happened in 2007, 2008, it's still going on, and they want to hide it. You want the proof? Last week, the Spanish government decided that if you want to withdraw 3,000 euros from your bank account, you need to write a letter to IRS, to the Spanish IRS. And if you do not write this letter, you will be fined for 150,000 euros. So this is to impeach people to withdraw their money from the banks. Well, this is where we are today.
Yeah, well, that's obviously to do with they are expecting a run on the bank, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. And have in mind something very interesting, because it's a very interesting phenomenon, especially in mostly in England, as far as I have seen, but also in France. For instance, BNP, the first French bank, is closing 500 agencies. In England, I think all your banks, they have closed like 3,000 or 4,000 agencies.
Well, yeah, branches, the high street branches are all closing. Yeah.
Yeah, they're all closing. But why? Because they are telling people you need to use our banking application on your phone. Okay, but look what happened at Silicon Valley Bank 3 years ago. When people heard that Silicon Valley Bank have had some problems, they just hit on their phone and they moved their money in just 10 seconds. And in just 1 hour, Silicon Valley Bank was bleeding. Literally, they were out of business, and they were saved by the Fed. Mm-hmm. So this is the problem. They will impeach people to withdraw money, and I have read in the British press that now people, if they want to withdraw some money like £1,000 or £2,000, they need to justify themselves. Why do you want this money? Blah blah. Exactly like in France or in Spain.
Well, I think you're going to get a bit of publicity for your book because of the raid by the police. But is it possible for you to predict how this possible crash in the future is going to happen? I mean, we're expecting something a bit like 2008, but it may not be the same next time.
Listen, when I started my press review in February 2008. It was a daily review of the banking industry. And what I have seen is that at that moment in February, there was the 10 biggest bank in the world. They were all looking for recapitalization. I don't know if this word is...
Recapitalization, yeah.
Yeah, but, as a journalist... my job is, like words, and it's like a bicycle, it's like a tire. If you need to put more air in a tire, it means that your tire doesn't have enough air in it to sustain the weight.
Yeah. You probably need a new tire, actually.
Exactly. And when the ten biggest banks, including HSBC, they never lost any money during their whole history. 2008 was their first time. When the 10 biggest banks were looking for to recapitalize themselves at the same time, at the same moment, I wrote on my press review that we're going to see the biggest crash in the history. And it happened the 29th of September of 2008, as you remember. But first, it happened in March, remember, with the fall of Bursins.
Yeah, so what's going to happen next time, do you think?
I think that the governments will take more measures to impeach people to withdraw their money. And this is why, for example, gold is a problem for all the governments, because when you withdraw your money or when you buy some gold, they cannot take it from you. That's the point. Here in France, if you want to withdraw, let's say, 3,000 euros, they will ask you to write a letter to certify that you are sane, in your mind. I will give you an example. One of my acquaintance, he was an engineer. He was decorated with two other guys for the invention of internet by the Queen Elizabeth. He received his prize, and basically he wanted to take like 500 or 600 euros, and the banker, it was a lady, she told him, "You are too old. You don't need that money."
Oh.
Can you believe this?
Well, they're obviously making some changes to try to stop people getting their wealth that they've saved. So, this book of yours, 2008, is it available in English?
Not yet. It's even not available in French yet.
If people are interested in following your work, reading up on this, can they find anything in English about it?
No, unfortunately not. It's only in French. It's quotidien.com. It's a tremendous job, even in French, to follow all this.
No. Okay. Industry. Well, what about your list? Because that seems to be one of the most interesting things here. Is your list of the criminal bankers?
The list, This list is public. You know, there is nothing new. But what I'm showing in the book is that these people did it on purpose, which is totally different. Hmm. This is totally different. They did it on purpose.
How do you prove that?
Oh, very simply. There was a French trader at Goldman Sachs, Fabrice Tour, he went in Europe. He met with Belgian banks, Spanish, French banks, etc. And he was selling them a piece of BIP. And we know it because all the internal mail from Goldman Sachs went public when the senators made their investigation. But what I did is that I went into the 800 something pages of this investigation, and I read a lot of mails from Goldman Sachs, and these people knew perfectly that the products they are selling to retirement companies in England, in Belgium, in France, they were just going to blow up 6 months later. Mm. And they knew it. Mm.
Well, that is fraud. That's fraud. That's a crime. What do you think are the implications in French politics? Because I know Macron is not very popular.
No, that's the last we can say, of course.
Yeah, but I mean, I wonder what you think is going on. We in England, we rather admire the French because you have a slightly revolutionary tendency.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry. The English people were the first revolutionary. You remember? They cut the head of one of their kings with an axe, if I remember.
Yeah. Yes, but we see the French. All I say is,
I'm sorry.
No. That we see the French. We do see the French out on the streets more, and I think there's still an understanding that the social programs represented by the socialism generally are more loved in France. The British seem to have given up on all that.
Well, it's a different approach. Basically, the France has a Latin state of mind, which the English doesn't have, of course. To give you an example, if you have a nice car, nobody is going to trying to destroy it in England. Eventually, they will store it, but they will not destroy it. In France, if you have a nice car parked in the street or whatever, you're pretty sure that you will find it destroyed one day or another, because people are jealous. And this is what you find in England, in Spain, and every Latin country. The politics. Let me give you an example. In 2008, because this is the subject, Sarkozy, when he saw what happened with the financial crisis in the United States, he called up all the syndicates. I don't know how you call it in English, the people who are doing the strikes, who are organizing the strikes.
Oh, the trade union, the trade unions, yeah.
The trade unions. I'm sorry. The trade unions. So they called up all the trade unions, and they told them, listen, we have a big crisis. This is going to be a big problem. I will give you a couple of millions. With a new law, so you will get a lot of money, but please don't do anything during this crisis. And they agreed to. So you were asking about the French politics. This is one example of the French politics.
Yep, bribery and buying them off. Okay, well, look, whereabouts can people find and follow you then?
Oh, let let me say what. Let me tell you about bribery. Don't forget that the banking industry, knowing exactly that what they did in France. If you can believe this, Crédit Mutuel, which is one of the big banks in France, they bought almost half of regional daily newspapers, so that they can control what the journalists will say about the banking industry.
Well, that's not very democratic. But anyway, look, so we know, I think...
that's the least what you can say.
Yeah. Whatever happened to the yellow vests? Because in England, we were looking across thinking, at last someone in Europe is doing something.
What happened? But don't forget that Macron did something absolutely horrible. He changed the heads of the préfecture de police, and he took some very violent guys, and they went up and they asked the cops to shoot on the yellow vest, so that we had. I don't know, like 100, almost 200 people. They lost one eye. They lost one hand. They were in hospitals. So it was extremely violent after that. And this is the violence of the police stopped the Yellow Jacket movement.
Right. Anyway, where do people find and follow you and get hold of your list? My listeners, I'm sure, would like to get your list.
Well, so they can follow me. They can follow me on Twitter. It's Pierre Jovanovic, with a C at the end. It's quite simple. But you can spell it for me, because I'm not good. Not very good in English spelling.
No, do you have your own website?
Yeah. It's called Jovanovic.com, and the press review is on the press review tab. So you will see it.
What about the list? Where is the list? We want the list.
It's on the book.
Where is the book?
The printer.
Let's hope so.
Just a reminder that Orwell was prophetic, because you in England, when I see that people just for a message on Facebook, on Instagram, they were thrown in jail, and by the same time you have people in the streets who are raping, stealing, and this is weird, but this is totally, you are ahead of us in the Orwellian state. Seriously.
Okay, Pierre, thank you. Pierre, thanks ever so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for your kind attention. Thank you very much, Tony.